Well, good morning, good morning. Grab your Bible and go with me to Proverbs chapter 4 as we open the Word of God and continue in worship. At Eastwood Baptist Church, we don't finish worship when we finish singing. We continue in worship as we open up the Word of God to hear a word from God, not from a preacher, but I pray that you would hear from God Himself through the message and through the Scripture this morning. The title of this morning's message is The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. Now, for some of you, that might conjure up right memories from that suspenseful drama, that movie from 1992, but hopefully that's not what comes to mind. Hopefully when I say the hand that rocks the cradle, you finish that old saying in your head, right? The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Everybody say rules the world. Are y'all awake this morning? Say rules the world. There we go. There we go. Now, William Ross Wallace, he was a Kentucky-born poet. He brought this saying into American consciousness in 1865 when he wrote a poem praising motherhood entitled The Hand That Rocks the Cradle is the Hand That Rules the World. And I believe it's an appropriate read for us this morning. Here's what it says. And in one sense, I dedicate this to all moms this morning. It says, blessings on the hands of women, angels guard its strength and grace in the palace, cottage, hovel, oh, no matter where the place. Would that never storms assail it, rainbows ever gently curled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Infancy's the tender fountain, power may with beauty flow, mothers first to guide the streamlets from them soul's unresting glow. Grow on for the good or for evil, sunshine streamed or evil hurled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Woman, how divine your mission here upon our natal sod. Keep the young heart open always to the breath of God. All true trophies of the ages are from the mother love impearled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Blessings on the hands of women. Fathers, sons, and daughters cry, and the sacred song is mingled with the worship in the sky. Mingles where no tempest darkens, rainbows evermore are hurled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Church, you know, it's right this morning to call down blessings on the hands of mothers, because motherhood is a blessed calling and a stewardship in this life. I love the opening phrase of that third stanza. Woman, how divine your mission. Hey, here up on our natal sod. You know, it's so easy for moms to lose sight of that, isn't it? Right? In the rush, in the rat race of mothering children who are still in the home, right? Moms can lose sight that what they're doing is a high calling from God. Amen? Motherhood is a high calling from God. It is a powerful position by the power of influence. Every day, mothers pour out themselves, right? Shaping, molding, raising up the next generation. That's what William Ross Wallace meant when he said, the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. In 2014, I might have shown this picture to you before, but in 2014, I had the opportunity to travel to China. And there in China, you'll see these things everywhere. You see it right here in this picture. You'll see these all over China, especially in front of Buddhist temples. You'll see the golden lioness. But it might be hard to see from back there, but you see that paw that's raised up? Can anybody see what's under the lioness's paw? It's a cub. It's a cub, right? The Eastern culture realizes that the power, and that there's power and there's majesty in motherhood. Yes, it can be mundane. Yes, it can be frustrating. Yes, it can be tiring. Yes, it can be consuming. Yes, you might even see it on an episode of Mike Rowe's Dirty Jobs, right? I mean, it gets nasty sometimes, but cutting through all of that and shining like a diamond in the rough, making it all worthwhile, is the majesty and the power of motherhood. It is indeed a divine mission. Motherhood is powerful enough to change the world. It is. And so that's today's task. Today's task is this: how to be a world-changing mother. Now, you might have thought, I don't know if you're like, I like when I'm listening to a preacher and they have blanks, I try to guess what he's going to say. I know none of y'all do that because you're just hanging on every word, right? But you might have thought, diaper changing, right? You might have said, how to be a diaper changing mama, but y'all got that down. But listen to me closely. Even those of you moms who are in that stage where you are a diaper changing mom, even in that mundane task, dirty job, you are changing the world. Now, before we get into our text this morning, I want to say this, and I alluded to this earlier. I think it's important that we realize that motherhood in the church doesn't just include biological and adopted moms, right? I mean, there are spiritual mothers, right? It includes every woman who pours out love, who pours out wisdom upon the children of the church. These are spiritual mothers. Jesus recognized this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 46 through 50. Jesus, it says this, while he was still speaking to the people, behold, his actual mother and his actual brother stood outside asking to speak to him. Verse 48, but he replied to the man who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, here are my mothers and here are my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Just a quick show of hands. How many of you would say this morning that a woman in the church who was not your actual mama impacted your life like a mama when you were growing up? Just slip up your hand. Praise God. Praise God. These are your spiritual mothers. And so it includes not just biological moms or adopted moms. It's every woman who will give of herself to pour out into the next generation. They rocked you. They fed you, they changed you, they played with you here at church in the nursery, they opened up the Bible and taught you, they encouraged you through the school years. In those teenage years, they wept with you and they cried with you and they laughed when you laughed and they went out of their way to make you feel at home in the church. They loved on you like crazy. You know, my family's had the privilege. Let's see, this is the third church that Christy and I have served in since Zachariah, our first child, was born. And so we've had the privilege of having many spiritual mothers in every church that we've been a part of. But one of the greatest we laid to rest this past January, her name was Tammy Venata. Tammy became a spiritual mother to our children while we lived there in Alexandria, Tennessee, and continued even after we moved up here. She continued to love on our kids and pour into our kids until the day that she died. You know, just this past Friday, just to give you a little taste of the impact that you can have in children who are not your actual children. Just a taste of this. My four-year-old, Nathaniel, he was in my bedroom laying and on the bed, and I walked into the room, and Nathaniel, just out of the blue, said, Daddy, do you think that Tammy's enjoying heaven? I mean, just out of the blue, Daddy, do you think that Tammy is enjoying heaven? When my wife, Christy, when she was helping the kids paint flower pots for the Bible Fellowship teachers yesterday, Nathaniel, again, my four-year-old, he couldn't get into his head that he was painting a pot for Miss Tammy Bergamini. He kept saying, no, this flower is for Tammy in heaven. And I just share that story with you to just help you to see, just to taste the impact that you can have in children's lives. Tammy was not their mom, right? She was not my children's mom, but she had a lasting impact. She loved my babies, and she became a spiritual mother to them. And so I say to you, every one of you, whether you have children or you don't, you can be a spiritual mother to a child, and there are lots of opportunities running right around Eastwood South Campus this morning. I couldn't believe it when I asked Megan, our children's director, so how many babies are we dedicating this morning? And the answer was none. I'm like, all right, new assignment, moms and dads. We come Thanksgiving. I want the stage full. No, I know that's already on the way. That's in the Lord's hands, of course, but I believe in all sorts of church growth, amen? All sorts of church growth. But I say to you guys that you can be a world-changing spiritual mother. And so to all mothers, this morning. Biological, adoptive, and spiritual. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for being who you are. So let's dig in to our takeaway this morning, right? Our task, how to be a world-changing mother. There are undoubtedly many things that I could say this morning here, but Proverbs 4 is going to be our text. And I believe our text tells us three distinct things that make for a world-changing mother. The first one is this: teach the way of wisdom to the next generation. Teach the way of wisdom to the next generation. Proverbs, of course, is a book of wisdom. And I think it's important for mothers to think in those terms. Maybe we don't think about it in terms of wisdom as much as we should. I believe we should think in terms of wisdom, in categories of wisdom, because here's the truth of the matter. Just ask an older mother here, your babies are going to grow up, aren't they? And they're going to grow up fast. And soon they're going to fly the nest and they'll be out on their own. And guess what? They're going to need wisdom to guide them when mama and daddy ain't there with them. And so you've got to help them and train them to think wisely. Proverbs chapter 4, look at verse 10 through 13. The scripture says this: "Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I've taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you'll not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life." You see, to be a world-changing mother, you have to actively engage in teaching wisdom to the next generation. And that always begins. Let me say that again. It always begins with the fear of the Lord, right? Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom," it is the beginning of knowledge. "Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Whether you teach them reading, writing, and arithmetic, listen, I want every one of my kids to be able to read, write, and add, okay? I want them all to be able to do that. But more than that, we must teach them about God. Yes, I want them to be able to hit a curveball, and I want to see them shoot a jump shot, and I want to see them pancake another lineman in a football game so that their team scores a touchdown. But more important than that, I want them to love the Lord. I want them to love the Lord. You got to teach them about God, that He is, and that He is holy, and that He is to be revered. Notice that the fear of the Lord here is the beginning of knowledge. That means that teaching on the Lord should hold primacy of place. If we do anything else, we teach them about the Lord. But it also means that it's the foundation. As that primary thing, it's the foundation that all other knowledge is built upon. It puts all other knowledge in the right perspective. They must understand that they are sinners in need of a Savior, and that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Maybe you're here today and your mama didn't teach you that. Listen to me very closely this morning. God made you for relationship with Him. But you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And your sin has separated you from God and has brought on to you the condemnation that comes with sin, the wrath of God, the punishment of God. But God loved you so greatly that He sent Jesus Christ to live the life of perfection that you cannot live, that we cannot live, and to die the death that you deserve. And the scripture says this: every one of you who will hate your sin and run to Jesus can be saved. That's the glorious gospel. Even if your mama didn't teach you that, I'm teaching you that this morning, and I pray that would not stop with you, that you would pass it on to the next generation. I pray you would receive it and then send it out again to those around you. But notice again back here in our text, Proverbs 4:11. Notice that wisdom is equated with what? Look at verse 11. Wisdom is equated with, say, uprightness. Uprightness. That means That means right here, guys, that wisdom in doing that which the Lord loves, that's the same thing. Okay? So if you're unsure, you know, preacher, I don't really know what wisdom is. I want to teach wisdom, but I'm not sure what that actually means. Then that means open up your Bible and see what the Lord commands. Right here, God has, we don't have to go looking and searching for wisdom. God has revealed wisdom right here that we may have it. But also notice in verse 11. Notice that there are two aspects to teaching the way of wisdom. Look at verse 11 again. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. Those two aspects are word and life. Word and life. Mothers, you should use words to teach wisdom. We don't just let our kids figure it out. We fill their ears. That would get in their mind and then into their heart. But what we teach with our words, it should also be found in our life. It should be taught through our life, through your life. Your life should be an object lesson. Your life should be an illustration of the wisdom that is found in the Word of God. Your life should be wisdom applied. And yeah, you better believe you're going to mess up, right? We all fall short, but even when you fail, guess what you get to do? Mamas, you get to exemplify wisdom of sorrow for sin and repenting of sin and seeking grace through forgiveness and reconciliation with God and those that we sin against. Let me say this. Some of the most powerful lessons you'll ever give your children are the ones when you mess up and have to lean on God for grace and mercy. There are no perfect mamas. None. They all need that perfect Savior, Jesus Christ. So teach your children through your example to lean on the grace of God. Mamas, teach those babies. And remember that great promise from Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he's old, he will not depart from it. Now, this is not a guarantee, because some of you who have raised your children, you're saying, I raised them right, and they were running wrong. But listen to me very closely. This is a general principle that we should cling to as a promise from the Lord. A world-changing mama teaches the way of wisdom to the next generation. But secondly, a world-changing mother will call out folly. This is the second thing. Call out folly to the next generation. Call out folly to the next generation. You see, folly is the opposite of wisdom. We don't use that word a lot. Folly is the opposite of wisdom. It's something that lacks good sense. It's something that's foolish. It's not enough to simply teach wisdom. We've got to teach wisdom, but at the same time, we have to call out folly. Wisdom says, go there, do that. But calling out folly says, don't go there. Don't do that. Teaching wisdom affirms. Calling out folly warns. How many of y'all thankful that mama warned you? Now, you probably didn't listen to her, did you? You hard-headed kid. But mama warned you. We see this model in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14 through 19. Look at it, Proverbs 4, 14 through 19. Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it. Pass on unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. You seen that passage there? Right? Don't go there. Don't do that. I'm warning you. They're placing boundaries around their babies. Can I just say this morning that boundaries for your children are loving? Amen? Boundaries for your children are loving. Now, of course, moms, dads, we can be too restrictive. I know some parents who pride themselves on how strict they were on their kids growing up. I mean, I've heard them stand and testify about how strict they were, and they're so proud of how strict they were. And the truth of the matter is their kids can't stand them. And they want nothing to do with the Lord that this parent professed to know as they brought the hammer down on them every chance they got. But we should place healthy, godly, serious boundaries around our children's lives, and we call out folly when they cross it. And when they do cross it, well, Proverbs 22:15 tells us one of the ways that you and I can call out folly and not only call it out, but discourage it. Proverbs 22:15 says, folly is bound up in the heart of the child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from them. Did you know, church, that you can whip the folly out of your child? The scriptures have said so. Next time you have to give them a good whooping, just tell them, listen, honey, I'm going to whoop the folly out of you. You know, experts in the world, they're down on spanking. They're down on whooping. I didn't get whippings, I got whoopings. Amen. They all say, you know, spanking doesn't work. It injures their little self-esteem. They won't be able to self-actualize properly. In fact, I heard the other day this meta-study that had studied 72 other studies on, I don't know how big of a nerd we have to be to study studies, but anyway, 72 studies had concluded that spanking doesn't work. But let me just do a quick survey this morning. If spanking worked to help you learn right from wrong, would you just lift up a hand? It works! Look at there. They're not in jail. They're here today. Listen, man, my daddy, he gave me some classic whoopings. You know what I'm talking about? You know you got a classic whooping when it becomes a story that you brag to your buddies about when you grow up, right? I got some classic whoopings, and my daddy ain't in here. He's back helping with the kids this morning. But he gave me some good ones. But you know what? Mama gave me a few too. You know what I'm saying? Mama gave me a few too. And I'm reminded of Proverbs 23:13, which says, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. In fact, you know what? You very well might save his life. Christy and I have a child who's about to turn 2 years old. And he loves, for some reason, to run to the road. I live on H.E. Johnson Road, and it's not a real busy road, but I've got a lot of farmers around me, and they're driving tractors and combines and trucks, and they're in a hurry to get to the fields and all those things. And I have a two-year-old that loves to go out there, and we told him, son, don't go on the road. He will literally, if he can get out of our sight for a moment, go and just stand and turn around and look at us. And he just wants to see if we'll come running. And guess what we do? Get back from that road. Because we know, he doesn't know it, but we know that death could await him just a few steps more. And guys, that's what we have to realize, is that discipline is loving. It saves the child from pain, that they're too ignorant, or sometimes, let's be honest, they know better. They're too stupid to keep themselves from. I've been stupid. I still have my moments. And when we discipline our children, it actually is showing them love. You very well might save their life. And again, if you're unsure what folly is, well, just open up your Bible and see what the Lord calls sin. Open up the Bible and see what the Lord calls sin. You don't have to go searching for folly. God's revealed it to us. If wisdom is doing that which the Lord loves, then folly is doing that which the Lord hates. The New Testament, it has four really good lists. I just want to go through these lists here to just help us get a grasp of what the Bible would call folly. How about 1 Timothy 1:8-11? Listen to the things here that God would mention as folly. It says, now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the godly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers. We're getting into the list of folly here now. striking fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God with which I've been entrusted. That's one list of folly. Count all of that as folly here in that section. How about 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 10? Here is another one, another list of folly so that we can have our mind trained. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. God gives us another list in Galatians chapter 5. What is folly? Well, Galatians 5, 19 through 21 tells us this. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then just one more at the end of the age, God prophetically looks at heaven, brings heaven into view here for us. Revelation 21 verse 8 has a list of folly here, that which the Lord hates. Revelation 21 verse 8, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake of fire that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Church, all of this is folly. All of this leads to death. If you go the way of folly, it leads to death. Therefore, a world-changing mama says, honey, don't go that way. And when they do go that way, we lovingly, we don't have to do it angrily. We don't have to do it heavy-handedly. But we say to them, honey, that leads to death. Turn. Don't go that path. When they're adults, we can't make them do anything. But we can lovingly draw them back and call out folly that they might have life. Therefore, a world-changing mother will work hard to call out folly in that motherly way. Dads, do it different than moms. Do it in the way God designed you to do it, mama, but call out folly you must. And then finally, to be a world-changing mother is to endure in encouraging the next generation. Mamas, you know what? This is probably your greatest strength. This is probably your greatest strength. I mean, you moms, I mean, again, moms and dads are different. You mamas, you know how to speak into your child's heart, whether they're young or whether they're grown, and to make them bloom, to make them feel like they can take on the world, like they can do anything because you see the potential in them, right? You see what they can be, and you never give up on them. When your tenderness is coupled with your tenacity, oh, you got a dangerous, you got a world-changing mama right there. Notice here in Proverbs, to finish out the chapter, Proverbs 4, 20 through 27, notice the role of perseverance here, endurance in encouraging. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they're life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evils. Mamas, once you've taught your babies the way of wisdom, and once you've called out folly, then you have to come alongside them and encourage them to be wise. And praise God, I'm 36 years old, and my mama is still coming alongside me and encouraging me. And you guys have children who are grown, and I pray that you are still finding ways to come alongside them and encourage them. And certainly you moms who are at home. Let me ask you this. How much of your mothering is correcting, and how much of your mothering is encouraging? There's more than one way, isn't there? Sometimes we want to fall to that correcting side so much, but sometimes encouragement goes much farther. Motherhood doesn't stop when they become an adult, right? It continues until death do you part. You're not married, but your soul is intertwined with that baby, with that child. And so I just encourage you to endure in encouraging the next generation. Mothers, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And you never know how your influence and your sacrifice is going to play out in the next generation. Listen to this story as I close. One cold winter there in South Wales, there was a mother who was traveling cross country with her young babe and was caught in a terrible blizzard, a blinding blizzard. The following day, the folks said they realized, well, she never made it to where she was supposed to be going. And so a group of men, they went out searching for her. And along the road that they knew she'd be traveling, they spotted a mound in the road covered with snow. And they quickly swept away the white powder and they found the frozen body of the barely dressed mama. She was dead. But in her arms was a bundle of clothing. And when they unwrapped the clothing, guess what they found? They found a baby. And it was not dead. It was alive. You see, in the struggle of the snowstorm, that woman, she had taken off most of her clothing and she had wrapped it around that little baby boy to keep him alive. She knew that she would perish, but she worked and gave of herself that that baby might survive. Well, that baby was David Lloyd George. And maybe you don't know David Lloyd George, but he lived to be one of the most celebrated prime ministers in England, mainly during World War I. And one of the reasons, guys, that he achieved so much greatness is that he never forgot about his mother's love and his mother's sacrifice. You know what, Mama? Sometimes it feels like your very life is being taken from you by your babies. I pray that it'd be the other way around, that you'd feel like you're giving your very life. But here's the good news. Mamas, you don't have to die. You don't have to die to teach your children about love and sacrifice. You can live and do that every day as you try to change the world one child at a time. Here's my closing prayer for us this morning. May the mamas in this room rise up and raise up a godly generation by the power of Jesus Christ.